I don't know if she's still alive or not. They've had her now for the past 24 hours. I'm equally uncertain as to the fate of her father, Professor Elliot. Both are probably dead. The odds are 100 to 1, I too will be finished before another sun rises. But tonight I'm going to try to fight for my life and those larger issues so perilously at stake, affecting all mankind.
This is going to be a village of zombies. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 194. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by Brian. Why you gotta wear your pants up so high, pencil-thin mustache man Dunaway?
Wait. I think what he is saying is the sum of the square roots of any two sides in isosceles triangle is equal to the square root of the remaining side, or maybe he just has gas. It's really hard to tell while looking at his huge noggin.
Yes, that is all true.
Also, geometry.
Geometry. Stay in school. Next up, we have Randy. He knows more than any of us that a beard means you're a villain, Jordan.
Yes. Aloha, Brian, Scott. Mm-hmm. I'm delivering my greeting this week in my Scottish accent. As you can clearly hear, this is exactly what a Scotsman sounds like. To really seal the deal, I've brought along another Scotsman who... Whoa, dude! I apologize, my friend. I can't take you seriously in a pop collar bomber jacket. What's with all the dry ice around here?
Oh, the fog machine. And finally, Brian, how little did we know about space in the 50s anyway, Ibbot?
The spaceship? Yes. It looks like a glass ball with three metal bands around it. The alien? It looked like a 7-foot-tall tree trunk with bits of aluminum siding scotch taped to it. That dog over there? Yes, it looks like a backgammon table. That dog over there? We're starting the joke part over. Okay. That dog over there? Yes, it looks like a backgammon game board supported by 5 stacks of carefully arranged glazed donuts.
Nice. I'm glad you went back. That was good.
Yeah. It deserved the full, the full respect.
The full breadth of Brian's arsenal,
right,
is what it deserved. It's the
next time I'll try saying these out loud to see if I can actually pronounce them.
Sure. I never
you
do.
You don't rehearse, do you?
No, I do not.
The man from Planet X looms over us like a dark cloud and a bad zit, everybody. It's the man from Planet X, 1951's Man from Planet X.
And is there another?
I don't think so.
Yes.
Is there?
Actually.
Have they tried to remake this?
We're going
to
get to that. No, okay. Go ahead.
I am unaware of this, if it's true.
The men from...
It's this mysterious planet hurling itself toward Earth, which, of course, makes no sense now that we know what we know about planetary bodies in space and gravitational influences.
Yeah, they explained in the movie. I was satisfied with the explanation.
Were you? Because a lot of it I wasn't.
No.
Scientifically unsound moments galore in this film. And then we're going to tell you all about it here in a second. But as always, Scott Fletcher has swooped in with a little knowledge of his own about the man from Planet X.
The man from Planet X. When a spacecraft from the Planet X lands on Earth, the visitor inside falls into the clutches of an evil scientist as the alien moves on to terrorize innocent Earthlings and turn them into zombies. A reporter tries to get the real scoop.
So, like something about the end of that I liked. But yes. I don't think that's what this movie was about at all. That guy didn't do anything.
No.
That was exactly what happened in this movie.
No, he didn't. He turned the old man into a zombie and that's it. And that wasn't even a zombie.
Fletcher.
What?
Great reading, Fletcher. I was curious about that. This is 51. Had we really, in the popular culture, did we know that much about zombies?
No.
Were we not inundated with zombies yet?
No, we didn't have. I think the idea of mindless, a person whose mind has been turned to mush and they are now hopeless slaves to some power. I think that happened a lot. But, you know, mindless zombies in the way George Romero had envisioned them was many years off.
It's 20 years later, like 17 years later, Night of the Living Dead.
69, right?
68.
69, dude.
No, you got it. Wow. You're just driving forward, aren't you? Okay, all right. Let's just talk about it right now. Scott got his first Wang picture in his email this week.
I did. Somebody sent me a photo of a wiener.
You want to see the man from Planet X? I got the wee man,
the little man from Planet X.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll call it that, sure.
Was it from
somebody named... What's that? What did he say?
Did he have a huge head, too?
No.
Oh, my gosh. That was funny.
You're going for movie connection. I'm asking if it came from the email address bfarv1919 nice. At wisconsin.edu.
No, it did not come from Brett Favre, but...
I didn't say that.
Oh, that's not your inference. So
you,
got it.
I'm still, you got to see someone's Anthony Weiner.
Somebody's Anthony Weiner came to my
inbox. And you immediately deleted it.
I did. I checked it as soon as I could, as fast as humanly possible.
Did you at least search to see if you'd ever gotten an email?
Speedy Wiener Chucker.
Did you at least search to see if you'd gotten an email from that address?
Yes,
before?
I did, and I have not. That's the first from this guy. So I'm prepared to accept the fact that this may be straight up a spam message, or it could have been a one-time deal from somebody using an address he never uses as a joke. What I do not believe is true. I don't think one of our listeners of this or any other show really thought long and hard. Sorry, thought at all about sending something erotic to me. I don't think that was the intent.
Yeah.
Do you know what's sad?
What?
Here we are watching a movie from 51, which back then movies were verbose in language, very light on any type of sexual.
They didn't play it blue, is what you're saying. Yeah.
They didn't. You know, there's not a lot of bad language. And what do we start with? Penis email.
Yeah, penis email.
But it's just timely. I mean, this is Oscars week, and I want to talk about that later. But I mean, you got to talk about what's going on.
Wait, that's not tonight, is it?
No, it's next week.
No, it's a week
next
from
tonight. Oh, shite. Okay.
This is Oscars week.
I was unprepared.
You still have time to go see 9 movies.
Right.
I saw one of them. I saw Gravity.
All right.
With the space.
And that's it?
Of
the 10? I'm sorry, 9?
I watched Filomeno this past week, and that's when the earthquake happened.
That's really? One of the two. Oh, really? Yep.
Yeah. All right.
That's one of the two I haven't seen yet. Nebraska and Filomena are on the list for this week.
No, we tried to see
on video.
We tried to see Her, but it's not at the theaters I need it to be. We almost rented Dallas Cowboy Buyers Monkey Club, whatever it is.
No. Did your favorite girl, Lawrence Fishburne?
Fishburne. What?
What?
My favorite girl.
Jennifer Lawrence.
We're getting them wrong, we may as well keep getting them
wrong. Bradley Cooper can only be in Jennifer Lawrence movies. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's a raccoon, you know, in that the Rocket Raccoon in the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is an interesting choice. But
finally completes the American Hustle comic book montage.
Of course. Brilliant. So we're back to, Man from Planet X.
Let's get down to it. 63 years old.
Yeah.
That's the thing that just soaks all over everything. As you're watching it from the first frame to the last, you're constantly thinking, this film is old enough to be a great grandparent.
Yeah.
Like 63 years old.
This movie is old enough to get a really sweet deal at Denny's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's the reason why when you look at the IMDb, it's nothing but a bunch of default icons.
Except for
William Shalit. And
this movie was before photography.
True story.
But like, oh, say, so William Shalit is the guy who you're thinking of, the guy with the beard, the obvious bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Mears.
And
not including the man from Planet X as your obvious bad guy there.
Right, exactly. And that poor guy, I got some trivia about him in a minute. But
was he bad? Was he?
He was pretty.
We'll talk about that.
Hopeless, but the point is that William Shalit is still working, dude, in his 90s, still rocking it.
Yeah.
And I had only ever seen, I've seen him in a million things, millions of TV shows and movies and bit parts and character actor spots and all this stuff, and never once did I ever think of him as a douche. He was always playing a nice guy or a quiet guy or a neighbor or a dude you worked with at some company or another lawyer or whatever. He was never like, man, I'm going to get these guys when they're not looking kind of villain. And he was totally that here.
You mean stepping into the shadows?
Yeah, literally into the shadows.
Yeah, and
okay, well that's easy to do in
this
movie.
World in my pocket.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've never seen a more underlit film in my life.
Oh my
ever.
God!
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. And that was probably intentional. That's what you used to do when you had bad matte paintings and that kind of crap.
They had to do a lot of matte painting backdrops. They were reusing sets from another film, Joan of Arc, specifically. Right. They were trying to make it spooky,
yeah.
And so they were using a lot of fog. And so what you do is you don't light things very well. I think they went too far. I felt like if you were sitting in a movie theater in 1953 watching this movie, you would be like, I can't see it.
Lights!
Yeah, it seemed really dark. And I did a little digging around for films in 51 and did some image searching. Okay. And tried to find comparisons, and what really got hit the hardest were sci-fi films like this. Mm-hmm. And maybe because of what Dunaway said, maybe there's another reason, but they seemed to spend the good lighting, and they had good cinematographers and good lighting experts working on your straight up like film noir kind of detective movies, and they were not well lighting anything that needed giant ants or, you know, big headed aliens or whatever. And I think maybe some of that is quite literally, we just need to cover up a lot of the crap that you would see otherwise. But even interior shots where you could fake a good office, a good scientist's office or something, that stuff was so weirdly lit. I'll tell you what it reminded me of. It was a dead ringer for kind of what they were going for in that Man of Tomorrow movie we watched.
Oh, yeah.
There were points in that movie where it was way too dark on purpose. Like, I could tell they were trying to achieve this thing where, oh no, the only light in here is this strip of light over Pepper Potts' eyes in that scene or whatever. I can't think of her real name. What's her name?
Yeah.
The freaking Jimmy.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah. Jimmy. That's close.
Jimmy Potts.
You know, Jimmy Potts. Yeah.
Yeah, Shane. But so I think some of that stuff is indoors and now people want to parry it and everything. But at the time, I think this was just them covering up seams and making it seem more mysterious than it was. And it didn't, I think, I mean, to some degree, it works in some places. There's a scene where he is walking toward the camera away from the military toward the ship.
Right.
Our mustache man, leading man guy.
Yes.
And that's my mustache.
Kind of effective shot. It looks okay. Like, ooh, there's some tension here and he's going it alone and it's a trope, but they're all just going to kind of watch him go by and he's going to do the hard, brave thing because he's the American. Or whatever, and he does, and he treats women terribly. We'll get to all that in a minute.
who doesn't treat women bad?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Even the aliens, like, women get inside the ship while the men go outside and dig.
It's kind of true, actually.
It is.
Like how you said, dig. That was very Jimmy Walker of you, Brian, over there.
Dig.
Yeah.
Something I want to point out is 1951 isn't so old that nothing was watchable back then.
Oh.
Right.
You know, this is the time around movies like A Streetcar Named Desire, which I would say Marlon Brando and Vivian Leigh and Carl Malden were all quite good in. You could see them. They put on good performances, you know. I want to say Singing in the Rain was a few months after Planet X came out.
We knew good lighting. We knew how to put on a good show.
Nine years later, Plan 9 from Outer Space. I would argue that Plan 9 from Outer Space did not improve much on this.
Oh, yeah, bad movies are timeless. It doesn't matter when you go to make a bad movie. They're going to be bad.
Right.
But I don't feel like this movie set out to just scrape by. I got the feeling they really wanted this to be a great film.
Right. No, I got the feeling everybody was very earnest, but you're right. The budget was low. It was like 38 grand or something.
Right.
Which seemed maybe then was still cheap and they went over a little bit, ended up with 41 because they had to bring in a new director. Mm-hmm. Right. The guy playing the space thing, according to the trivia, was irritated constantly. Let's see right here. It says, according to Robert Clark, Pat Golden, who played the spaceman, complained about billing. He didn't get enough billing for the thing. Short pay and the heat of the costume to no avail, according to producer Jack Polexfen. Holy shite, that guy's got a great name. He said he did a slow motion vaudeville act. was what that guy was, and so he got paid what he deserved.
Yeah. You know, it was apparent when
he was a mime, is what you're saying.
Exactly, when he was adjusting his, like, after they left him for dead, and he was adjusting his little air knob,
his little CPAP machine, and then he raises his hand and flexes his fingers and then makes a fist and shakes it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's intense.
That's your slow pantomime right there.
Yeah, he didn't get enough, and he claimed he didn't get paid enough for all that, so I think he may have been paid just right.
I submit he got overpaid.
Exactly, yes.
The SAG minimum was $175 a week, so if you're a member of the Screen Actors Guild, $175 was your minimum. Robert Clark, he's
$1.75, which back then would have got you a couple of colas.
Exactly. 25 cents later. Robert Clark, he's main dude with the mustache, was paid $175 for the entire film. His final check was $210 with overtime. So
the filming took 6 days. They made this movie in 6 days.
It's not bad.
Now think about, but I'm just saying, like, think about if you and I decided right now to make a crappy movie. And used every hour for the next 6 days. We couldn't pull it off.
No, we couldn't make this. We couldn't even make this good.
We couldn't make anything. I'm just saying, it's just remarkable.
And I think you'd rent out and pick up something like one of those things that comes with a bunch of video clips, like B-roll video clips, and you would base your movie around that. It's like, all right, so it's the scientist. First, he's going to walk down a really busy street in New York.
Yeah.
Then a car explodes right next to him. But I think you do hit on something here, which is the fact that this is it's speed and budget, which I think make this film look like it does. Another movie that came out in 1951 was The Day the Earth Stood Still, with Gort and Klaatu Barada Nikto and all that. And you compare that to this, even the Keanu Reeves version.
Yeah, even that piece of crap.
That's such a more polished, more thought through movie with good lighting. And, you can get by without special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think for a 6 day low budget film, I think this is.
Yes, incredible. I agree. I think when you say it's 6 days and made for $40,000 or whatever it turned out to be.
What did they spend it on? Because it was only giving the actors like $150.
Yeah.
They spent it on a huge Christmas ornament costume, the man from Planet X.
Well, a lot of it probably were the props, were the costumes and that big model, that big thing, that full-size spaceship
the miniature.
They had to cart around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the miniature town.
Maybe that stuff adds up. Also, a lot of it is just back then. I think executives were making more money just because they were making a movie. Like if your budget wasn't all. I mean, so now it's like, oh well, yeah, you're going to give Tom Cruise $10 million for this movie, but he's getting residuals also. There's some back end deal. I think back then there was like a front end deal where producers are like, yeah, we'll make this movie and we're taking $20,000 of it.
Right, now get lost.
Yeah, I think that's how it worked.
And just to drive home the comparison to The Day the Earth Stood Still, that movie had a budget of $995,000.
Wow. Which seems trying to stay under
amazing
million?
When you consider, yeah, I think they were.
The day the Earth cost $1 million to make a movie.
Just shy.
So the film, I love this. It's one of my favorite pieces of trivia. The film debut of Harold Gould, who was uncredited as the frightened villager.
Yes.
Did he go on to something? Because
You recognize this guy. He did a lot of he's done a lot of movies over the years.
Has
oh,
he?
Totally. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. He's the only other photo. Right, he's the only other photo. Yeah. Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Guy.
Like I remember him from Soap or something.
He's just a lot of TV for a while, but he's just
a lot of 70s stuff. I'm guessing.
A lot of voice work.
Patch Adams. I think he was one of the doctors in Patch Adams.
He's a regular on Spencer.
Right. Nip Tuck was his last role as Walter Krieger. He died that year, 2010.
Right. He was Lindsay Lohan's grandpa.
Oh, Martin Morgenstern on Rhoda. That was probably his biggest, just scrolling through his list. Yeah, there it is. Barney Gerber on Soap. I knew I remembered him from freaking Soap.
Everything's from Soap.
Every time we find an actor like this, they're always on at least one episode of Touched by an Angel.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Isn't that weird? There's a weird thing. Yeah. If you were an actor in that age range and you were working in the 90s, you were on that show.
Touched by a cameo.
Yeah, 96 right? or so.
Must have been the casting director. You must have really liked those.
So, yeah.
Well, that's cool then. So he's the only other photo on IMDb of anybody involved with the film.
This is funny. He was on 7 different episodes of the FBI, a TV show called FBI, and played a different character in all 7 episodes between 1965 and 1972.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Now,
he used to get away with that.
It's a bit of old Hollywood here, but Edgar G. Ulmer, he's the director. Right. He lived from 1904 to 1972. That's a decent length. A Hungarian dude. He has got, and this is just, I think, indicative of the time, because films, certainly B directors, they had plenty of work. There was lots going on. You could be Johnny on the spot and make 20 movies in a weekend, whatever you had to do. Guy made 53 movies as director.
All in the year 1951.
And that was just up to 64 when he quit doing it and then lived another, 8 years. But
I'm done.
And lots of things like The Naked Venus. Daughter of Dr.
Venus. Oh, you got The Naked Venus in your email.
I love the names of his movies, like The Wife of Monte Cristo and Isle of Forgotten Sins.
See, that's great.
I want to know what Saint Benny the Dip is, and why aren't we watching that one?
Why aren't we doing that now?
It's not streaming.
How about,
Tomorrow We Live. I love that.
Goodbye, Mr. Germ. That sounds like
like a biology class.
Here we see the common germ as it crawls up the arm of our young Billy or whatever.
It might be.
Turbo Supercharger, a documentary about masters of the skies. Anyway, this guy's a hero.
Goodbye, Mr. Germ. A doctor explains to his children the dangers of tuberculosis, what it is, and how to prevent against contracting it.
Great.
That was shown in schools all the way through the 80s, probably. Reel to reel.
He is on a list from IMDb called the 50 greatest directors who were never nominated for the Oscar. But I don't see anything on here that would make me think he needed to get one.
Hey, got to look through the whole library first.
And the daughter of Dr. Jekyll? Come on.
Oh, The Amazing Transparent Man is streaming. That was one of the ones recommended to me after watching The Man from Planet X.
I think it's on our list, isn't it? I think it is.
Is it
Transparent Man? I think so.
Let's see if he started out on a positive note when he was a director. Let's see if Moon Over Harlem. Let's see. That was one of his earlier attempts. Let's see if he was going in the right direction before.
All right. This is when he was going under different names, like John Warner. Right. He made a movie in 1934 called Thunder Over Texas, and he did it under a different name. So I don't know.
I'm really not sure about this. I don't want it to ruin my career.
He did a movie called Hannibal. It's got nothing to do with the Hannibal we all know, but he claims his greatest.
The one from A-Team?
Yeah, that was the one. He had a cigar, and he was always happy when a plan came together.
I love it 50 years before a plan comes together.
Exactly.
Nicely done. All right. What else? Oh, gosh. That's all the trivia that really matters.
I have a piece of trivia person who wrote this movie is named Aubrey Wisberg, and from England. And it's the only reason I can come up with that this thing was set in Scotland. I've looked through everybody else in this movie. They're all from New York and Oklahoma and Texas, and it was shot in California and so on. Mm-hmm. And why is it in Scotland? I can't understand
I know why.
It has to. Yeah, I do too. I suspect why, Scott. Why do you think?
Okay, here's my theory, and you tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's because we were really American films were really into the idea that an American goes to a place that is somewhat backward in some way, at least in their portrayal, and the American rises up and is the man to count on. That's what I think is going on here. So they had to have a fake place, a far off land, Scotland being the choice here where the American will save everybody.
You're making, I'm going to call this the Brigadoon defense. Mm-hmm. And I understand it, but it could have been anywhere. And they didn't have one person in this movie who sounded Scottish.
Yeah.
There are a few were trying, but anyway, this the writer of the movie is named Aubrey Wisberg, and this person is from England and has been dead for 23 years.
Sure.
Also wrote the Arnold Schwarzenegger debut Hercules in New York.
Oh, good Lord.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. I thought the whole reason why they did it there was because they needed some Moors and they needed some, fog.
Yeah. Because that's what they thought. Just like they thought in space, planets can come hurling at you, and they never referred to it as outer space. They just referred to it as in space. And I think that by the same kind of naivete about science there, they have the same one about actual natural science on the Earth. And we're like, well, that's a foggy place. Let's use that. And we can have American save the day. I think those are really simple 1951, $38,000 budget kinds of problems. And
I'm just saying,
yeah.
If you and I decided we were going to make a movie in the next 6 days, I kind of doubt we would decide to make the setting Japan.
Oh, I see what you're saying. It's a good point.
But it had to be foggy, and it had to be isolated, right? They couldn't just say, all right, we'll just call in the cavalry. If they said San Francisco for the fog, they'd say, well, we'll just call up the National Guard or whatever. But they needed something to feel isolated for this.
And I think moviegoers who would actually end up seeing this movie probably have no idea what it's like in Scotland. They think it is a weird, backwards, slower than us thing. Where it's all, you know, messed up. It's not, but that's what they probably thought.
In 63 years, I think the only four people who've talked about the setting being the problem with this film would be the four of us.
Are all people sitting here right now? Okay. Yes. Kind of what I think.
They're currently on Skype.
Probably right. That mustache had a very nice... Who's the guy that did Hairspray? Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Russ, but...
Oh, the guy.
Waters.
John Waters. That was the most John Waters mustache I've seen in Hollywood since John Waters.
If you close your eyes, he sounds just like Nathan Fillion.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Play the intro bit that you played before the...
Okay, let's do it again. Now I'm really interested.
Think Nathan Fillion.
Okay, here it is.
I don't know if she's still alive or not. They've had her now for the past 24 hours.
Yeah, like he's doing a voice. Nathan Fillion trying to throw
a little bit of a British affectation on, but that's a very little one. Yeah.
That's weird. Oh my gosh.
There's better examples later in the movie. Yeah. I hope you caught a little more of him for the quotes.
I did. Yeah. It's a good thing I have to capture quotes because this is one of the movies, I don't do this very often, but I was nodding off. I was losing it.
Right?
Because it's not, there's nothing going on, like ever. And even when they get to the meaty part where you're like, okay, here we go, spaceship, alien, spaceman.
Yeah.
The most action it got was he came creeping over to the window and she screamed.
Oh, but that was the seminal moment in this film.
Yes.
was the alien falling forward into the little peephole window thing.
Oh my gosh. You don't even believe that they had somebody in the suit and the mask.
Yeah.
They just had the suit and the mask and they just leaned it forward. Oh, it was so good.
Well, it's going to be our holder image for the blog, by the way.
And then she screams and she runs for like 6 miles back to wherever she was. Yes. And there's a great little trope in there go ahead. There's a great little trope in there where she gets back and they start establishing the female as crazy.
Yeah.
Right, like, right. Girl be crazy. Yeah. She saw there ain't no way. And they're like, we're going to go look and see. We're going to prove you wrong, woman.
Yeah.
And they're all, you stay here. She goes, no, I'm going to go too. And they're like, no. You were really scared. Then she goes, no, it was just, I just took a fright. And we're like, you ran 6 miles.
Yeah,
that wasn't just a brief, temporary fright.
It's a long enough run that you had to drive there earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
We're gonna call this, by the way, the hysterical woman moment. That's our theme for it. And anytime they treat a woman like a complete ding dong, I feel like this happens in every movie we ever see. So we should bring it up more often. But
this movie
is so thick with it, and he is such a smarmy freaking.
This movie was actually missing a trope. I wanna always look for the missing trope from now on.
I wish I had the backwards sound. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? All reversed.
because I thought very, very clearly, I thought they were going to go out there and the spaceship wouldn't be there anymore.
Yeah.
And then they would call her crazy.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. And I realized, that's probably a trope.
Until later. It happened to the other guy.
But it was like a trope that's more modern than the movie, basically.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's just her hysterical thing. And then him constantly going, well, I hope we can see him looking pretty later. And the thing,
God, he wouldn't shut up. Did you guys feel like that?
Yes.
It's like, just shut up.
It just grossed me out because otherwise he's an okay leading man. I'm kind of fine with him. He's got a good voice, good stature, good all the things you want in the 50s. But anytime he get all greasy about her, it's like, dude,
it was terrible. And he was like, he couldn't remember anybody's face. Right. But he sure could remember those legs.
Yeah, those legs are pretty good. I like those legs go on forever.
Ah, 6 years has done you well.
All the way up and make an ass out of themselves.
It still wasn't as bad as how they treated the one girl in the Red Planet movie 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, good point. That's a good point.
She was even smart enough to say, look, I know you think I'm a hysterical woman, but blah, blah, blah.
Right, she even called it out. You're right. Yeah. You know, it makes me, part of me wants to see more 50s movies because of this thing, because I like that as a relic of a different time, and it just seems so completely ridiculous to me now. When I was a kid, maybe I'd see something that wouldn't even faze me, just because whatever. But you see it now, you just go, it just sticks out like the biggest sore thumb in these movies.
Well,
like,
I love it that they're doing this. Netflix is, yeah, is putting these kind of movies out there because it's fun to see. Like the instant I saw The Alien, I'm like, oh, I've seen him before.
Yeah.
And I realized, well, because this movie is famous for its schlock and for its silly looking alien. And so he's been reused all my life. And sure, like, I hope there's a lot more of these to come for
us. You probably saw like a Friday afternoon. Did you guys have a movie of the week kind of deal, local TV thing where they would show you these things?
Yeah, the syndicated TV channel.
Did you have a name for yours? Do you remember? Like, was it a...
Oh, I think it was Fright Fest or something like that.
Yeah, it was like that kind of thing.
Saturday afternoon Fright Fest. Right, or
I want to feel like we had something like that too. And it wasn't like Elvira. It was some like bargain basement version of her.
Right. In my part of the world, it was Sunday afternoon.
Hmm.
And I remember every 7 weeks they would show The Blob. And I was so scared of The Blob. Every 7 weeks,
that's a weird pattern.
I'm just saying, like, they showed The Blob many times on this stupid thing.
Yeah.
And it scared the hell out of me. Yeah. I was so terrified when I was a little kid.
As the blob is known to do.
We didn't have any, like, local stations that would carry that kind of stuff. But Chicago, big cities like that are always selling and rebroadcasting stuff. And they even still do this even to today, because on Saturday nights on MeTV, I think me and Scott talked about this before. But
yeah, that channel's great.
Yeah, MeTV is actually syndicated out of Chicago, and we pick it up here locally, and there's Sven Gulli, who does a weekly crappy movie, and I've been making my kids watch them. Like last night, it was House of Dracula, and it was originally titled something else, but something happened, and basically it had all the big monsters in it. It had, you know, it had Dracula, and it had Frankenstein, and it had Wolfman. It had everything.
The Holy Trinity of the 40s.
Live in Dracula's house.
Yeah.
What happens when people stop being polite.
The joke I wanted to make is that all those guys were getting together to sing Christmas carols.
Yeah, exactly. Right? They were. I love that stuff. So that's cool that you. Yeah, MeTV is crazy good. It's got the cheesiest. I watched Gilligan's Island on a complete happenstance the other day. Yeah. And so you're going to catch something that you just, you know, 1 minute it's Bonanza, next minute it's that. They had an episode of MASH on one time, and then some weird horror movie at night. Like, and it's local everywhere, I think. I think you just get it.
And I'm always pleasantly surprised when I pop in and Star Trek is on the original series. And I'm like, oh, I wouldn't plan on watching Star Trek, but now I am.
Yeah,
exactly. And I want to get around to connecting things to things, because this is part of one of the things we really miss as we do FilmSack week by week is all of the connections that happened at the time. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, if you watch a crappy movie from the 70s and then you also watch Gilligan's Island, you might actually see the bad guy. You might see the alien make an appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're not living at the time. Like, we don't even know. Maybe this movie had some pop culture impact in 1951. Right,
right. Well, what would be a current comparison to that? Like,
people don't do that as much anymore.
It's not anymore. The 80s and the 90s had some of this, but I don't feel like we get that now.
Even further back, like Universal's Monsters, it was pretty much they had a set of actors, and they were on contract, and they would bring them back as, you know, Dracula in this movie, and this movie, and this movie.
I mean, the closest thing I can think of now would be, oh man, probably just referential stuff like, oh, we're gonna have a dude in our movie who played Frodo in Lord of the Rings, right, and he's gonna say something like, "I don't mean to, Mister." Right.
And
something.
What it comes to is, we don't any longer see the world of make believe as its own other world, mm-hmm, you know. So like, when we see something that's realistic, we want it really realistic.
Yeah.
And if the TV show Justified had been on 50 years ago, you would have had, you know, Swamp Thing come walking through that show one episode.
Yep.
And Raylan Givens would have had to go shoot him.
Yeah,
you know?
Flo would show up on Battlestar or Batman. But like Flo would walk onto an episode of Texas, of Dallas or something weird.
Right.
That crossover thing doesn't exist anymore. And I don't even think, we don't even have an equivalent to like the Love Boat or Fantasy Island anymore, where all the top stars of the day, you know,
on TV, but we do have, you know, like Marvel is kind of like the modern day Universal, where they
should have been. Could have been.
They've got Robert Downey, you know, popping in and out of Avengers, and you know, he does his
But I'm sorry, but they have a huge chance to catch me early on in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. by just working in. You don't even have to show them to me. Just name them. Drop their names.
Or just have it. Just show Iron Man fly over the sky and carry a tank with him.
But you know how sucky that is, though, when you rent the Bourne Legacy, And the only time they mention Jason Bourne is in little newspaper clippings. Totally pissed me off.
Yeah, I totally agree. No, I totally agree. But with the thing they didn't have in the 50s and 60s that we now have a ton of are comedy shows and late night talk shows. And so now we get our fill of Will Smith when he's got a new movie coming out because he's on all these shows. They're just not fiction, you know?
Right.
That's all it comes to now.
Yeah.
So you're saying the circuit used to be go to TV shows. Now you're talking they go to the night shows. What you're saying?
Yeah, I think exactly so. Right. I think that's right. I think they were doing both back then. But now you show up on Fallon. You're doing your thing and you're on Fallon. You're on Letterman. You're on everybody. You're on, and then you're on Jon Stewart. And then you did some Funny or Die video with Will Ferrell. And then you did some other viral YouTube BS. And, you know, I think that's right. the way. So I actually, this is what I think. I think the future of this is much more bright. We will get back to a time when the crossover is almost too much because the web will facilitate that on the lower level. It won't be network television. It won't be in the movie theaters and it won't be so much of that old parade. It'll be straight up, oh my gosh, did you see so-and-so show up on, I don't know, Tobuscus and lay an egg on camera or whatever.
Everybody was amazed at where Will Ferrell in character as Ron Burgundy showed up last autumn.
Oh, right.
And the reason they were amazed was because they didn't used to watch TV in the 70s and see the Harlem Globetrotters just come trotting through every show, you know?
Well, that, or they were asleep at the wheel when what's his name was running, Sacha Baron Cohen was doing the exact same thing a few years ago.
Yeah, but that was 5 years ago. That's how little it happens. Yeah. 5 years goes between anybody's serious through all the shows campaign.
And that felt raw and new, but I bet back in the day it was like, oh gosh, like Johnny Carson would get, I don't know, what was that? Chicken Little, or not Chicken Little. Who's the guy that
went Rich Little
through Ritz, the two lips?
Not Ritz, oh, Little.
Tiny Tim. Tiny Tim. Chicken Tiny Little. Tim. When he would come out, I mean, that guy's basically a character. Mm-hmm. Or Gilbert Gottfried or somebody like that, where they're just playing a big, loud character and that's not them, their real selves. Although, I don't know, Gottfried's a bad example. I can't think of anybody else. But
yeah, I've seen Gottfried play other characters and he's really good at it. Howard Stern?
Howard Stern, yeah, I guess. But Gottfried was in, what was, we saw him in, and he was like all quiet.
Aladdin's?
Yeah.
No, it was the one with Ford Fairlane, that
Ford
one.
Ford Fairlane. Gottfried was actually just playing a character.
Yeah, he was just being a dude.
Mellow.
Yeah, and now he's that. Oh, I heard an interview the other day on Mark Maron with Bobcat Goldthwait. That was an odd experience because he's just talking like a dude.
Right.
He's not going, like he always used to do.
No, that's what he does that now. Like he does the, just when he makes an appearance, and I'm trying to think about the clown one that he was in, Shakes the Clown.
Yeah. Right.
I think ever since that, he's been just kind of mellow.
Mellow being a guy.
Yeah.
Not like the freak he was the entirety of the 80s.
Speaking of Paul Rubens, who still does Pee Wee.
Speaking of clowns.
Yeah.
One on my huge list of movies I check regularly to see if they're streaming on Netflix because we will immediately watch them is the movie Quick Change, Bill Murray, Gina Davis.
Oh, love that one.
Yeah. I don't know that one.
Randy Quaid.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how, I can't remember now, but a few days ago I saw a current picture of Randy Quaid and he looks like a completely different person.
Oh yeah. No, the post Canadian fleeing photos are something to see, man.
I don't even know what to call him. He doesn't look human anymore.
I'm trying to find.
He looks like he has devolved into some.
Are you talking about the bearded Randy Quaid or something else?
Man, the bearded just, one.
I he love had him a
in
beard
fur, in his fur jacket. I love that one.
He had a beard. He's huge, like huge. Like how is this Dennis Quaid's brother huge?
Yeah. There's a really good one of him. Look, this doesn't, you won't even know this is him. Now, I want to say this is from a movie right before he fled or maybe since. I don't know what he's done since. But
filming in Canada right now.
But look at that photo there. Click that. And
I'm afraid after you told me what you got.
It makes me wish he was back doing stuff kind of.
He's like, starting to look like Rob Reiner.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, my gosh. That's just like Rob Reiner. He's meathead.
He is.
This reminds me. We've been cordially asked, and I think it's a great idea when we share something amongst ourselves while we're recording.
You're right.
Put those links into the into the show notes in the blog.
Sounds like nice work.
That, It's nice that somebody was cordial about it, because they could have been like, you guys always talk about these things we can't see. You suck.
So this is a picture of Randy Quaid looking very much like Rob Reiner with the worst necktie knot I've ever seen.
Hey, I know I know what. So people can go look for Randy Quaid on Google Images. How about that?
So listeners, go to http://. deskofbrian.com/wp-content/uploads/RRandy-Quaid.jpg
There you go. We've done our due diligence. Take that, everybody.
Yeah, the shows will now be 20 minutes longer.
Yeah. Brian, I want to tell you what I... So, Ibbot, I thought of you.
I'm not doing that one, Brian.
No, don't do that one.
Do it.
I thought of you... That's a long, hard one there.
You, okay, you thought of Brian when you got a Wang pick in your email.
Is that Randy Quaid? What the hell's going on there?
It is.
Yes.
It is Randy Quaid. That's actually where he's working now.
We always talk about our favorite roles with him, but we always forget to mention the Amish one. Kingpin. Yeah, yeah, Kingpin. He's Kingpin. Great in Kingpin. Remember he got all lactatey or something? What was the deal? His boob, he got all boob milky.
His nipples got all hard because he went and got a beer out of the freezer because he was trying to distract the bad guy.
That is such a great movie.
Yeah.
There are very few movies where I'll laugh at a sight gag as much as I do the one where Woody Harrelson is dressed as an Amish guy. He's at the table. The dog gets a hold of his rubber hand. He pulls on it until the dog lets go and then whacks himself in the face with it. The timing on that is still to this day one of the most impeccable pieces of film ever made.
That's on YouTube. Look for a clip.
You're
thank
me.
You. Thank you.
You're killing me.
YouTube.com.
/.
.com. It's a Google company, and you'll find exactly what you're looking for there. So, Brian, I thought of you. I want to tell you why I thought of you in this movie. Back to the man from Planet X. No, you. Dibbit. Okay. Dibbit.
All right.
The fog machine. All I can think of, and I really mean this, as soon as it showed up, I went, Tristan's fog machine.
I did not even think about that, but it's so true. Yeah. That's what it looked like, you know, and you see the alien, that first shot of the alien coming through the fog after it followed them back to the 6 mile trip back up to the laboratory.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it was about that thick in the house that day.
Really? Yeah, that video you sent to me, just the freakiest thing you guys have ever seen. Like, it's just rolling fog and then this creepy kid coming out of nowhere
with a gas mask.
Ugh. This still gives me, it's scarier than this movie. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
Also, here's my favorite trope. Hold on. Here it is. Seems obvious. Evil men have beards. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they stroke
yes.
them.
Yeah. My favorite trope was in this one too. You want to know what it is?
Oh, no way. Hold on. Halt, sinners.
Halt, sinners.
There you go.
Okay, go.
It's when the lady's driving the guy up to the lab after picking him up, and she's doing that thing that you have to show that it's a moving steering wheel, but there's no way that any car would stay on the road by the way that you're driving.
She's going,
what do you think? She blew a tire.
Yeah.
That's why, exactly.
Yeah. Those are some pretty
further proof that ladies can't drive. They can't even fake drive.
They did themselves a favor with one of those shots where she's driving. The angle was just such, and they didn't bother having background elements because it was too foggy.
Right.
And so it was just an open car with them driving in it and talking. It actually kind of served the movie better because I didn't have to get distracted by terrible fake scenery projected on the back or however they were doing it then. I mean,
and the fog was moving fast enough that it's like, all right, it's believable that they're actually driving forward that speed.
Yeah. Now, there was so much of that stuff in there, you got to wonder, did the entire cast eventually die of like emphysema from all this horrible whatever?
Smoking. There was so much smoking. It was ridiculous. Well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good smoking, though. I like the old smoking.
Okay. I agree. They definitely committed to it. Mm. They definitely committed to it. They were actually smoking. In fact, I would imagine that they were never directed with the smoking. That's just what they did while doing their job.
Agreed.
Like, as an actor, they often look like, so for take five, I'm just going to have a cigarette while we have that take, and it worked out.
Yeah, we talk about cigarettes all the time, but I think you're probably right. I don't think there was them being told what to do. This is just their lifestyle.
I don't know, man. I mean, I think that with the cigarettes, but when you're sitting down with a pipe, I don't know, man. You got to be pretty pretty laid back with your shawl on, you know, get your little shawl on your shoulders, yeah. Professor Shawl.
It was
Professor Shawl.
It totally was, yeah. Shawl.
There was, you know, always a shawl around my house for some reason. Everyone had a shawl when I was growing up. My aunts had shawls. My mom had one she'd pull out when my grandma's feet would get cold. There was always a shawl.
Because we don't have central heat. We didn't have central heat back then or central air.
I think we did in the 80s, didn't we?
Well, in the 80s,
maybe. That's what I mean. My grandma would come over and say, "Oh, why don't you give me a shawl? Your grandmother's cold."
But both of my grandparents' houses didn't have central air at all. Right, both of them.
Did they have shitters, or did you have to go outside?
I'm not that old. I mean, it's like I'm actually old enough to I'm old enough to remember when they redid all the latrines at the Boy Scout camp. The thing about the driving. The thing about the driving is,
yeah, the driving.
Nowadays, now ever since batteries got small and you could put a whole camera rig in addition to a whole car on a flatbed and just drive it around while you were filming, that everything we see is that. There's no more of this process shot shit anymore. Instead, you got people driving all over Vancouver, British Columbia with a big flatbed, and the car that they're filming is on top of the flatbed, and all the equipment you could possibly want is sitting out in front of it.
Right.
And we're used to that. Mm-hmm. We're really, really used to that. And it makes it, because it's actually moving, it makes it really easy for the actors to look like they're in a moving car.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every time we look back on this, I'm just like, how did you not know? Like, how did you not think of a better way?
Well, it must have seemed, they didn't have the sound tech we have now to capture in those cars that we put on flatbeds and pull on a trailer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I saw John and Ponch do it for Chips and their bikes would move at exactly the same rate and then bounces and everything, I remember thinking, well, that seems good, but they had to yell, right? Yeah. If you're inside a car's cab, and the way we do, I think, post sound processing and stuff at the time and everything, we're just so much better at that now that you can do things that used to be too noisy of a proposition and get away with it.
My problem is the first time you see a car in this movie, Enid comes driving up on a dock and it's
dangerously
clearly, yeah. Yes. And she's actually driving the actual car toward the what's his name? John Pencil and all the extras.
John American.
Yeah. And a bunch of props and everything. Like, it's like they just let her, they told her, drive this car up on that stage and try to stop before you kill someone.
Yeah.
She was not going slow.
No.
And she just bounds out of there. And I'm like, oh yeah, this movie's going to be good with the cars. Nope. That was the last time in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Except the one time when she blew the tire, which I thought she blew the engine. I didn't know what she blew because a lot of smoke come out.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that mixed with the fog and you didn't know what was coming from where at that point. Right. But I have a question for you that's still back to the smoking thing, and I'm really curious about this. Okay. Smoking became a vice that quickly made it into film and stayed there and is now used today, especially if you're doing some sort of period piece where you can't wait to break out the cigarettes because it's just such a mark of the time and all that. We've talked about it on the show before. But I want to know, do we ever get to a time, can you foresee a time where unironically, meaning they're not trying to point it out or stick it in your face the whole time as something to call out on screen, do we see regular use of e-cigarettes as a thing that people do on screen? I don't
only
know,
ironically,
man.
Please.
Yeah, I can no. they do it seriously?
I think in the next couple of years you're going to see it.
Because
I'll bet you in the next couple of years we get the comedy thing like, look at that, you know, it's going to be like the hapless nerd is over there with his e-cigarette. I'm not saying that I believe that hapless nerds do the e-cigarettes.
No, of course not.
But I think that it's going to be like Scary Movie or, you know, one of those franchises, one of the comedy parody franchises, and it's going to be looking over at that guy. He's got his e-cigarette, and that's what that blue
completely
light was.
Completely agree. That's how we're going to see it. But
I think it'll be the secondary bad guy at the poker table in the next James Bond film. I think it'll be it'll just happen, and you won't even really think about it.
See, that's the thing I'm arguing that I can't see happening. I can't see them just saying, oh, here's a room full of people smoking e-cigarettes and I'm not noticing.
Are you forgetting what product placement has done to entertainment?
I know.
But I think you make a sacrifice if you have your main bad guy's number one henchman smoking an e-cigarette and they're thinking, that'll be exactly right. He doesn't want any of that secondhand smoke to you know, infect the other henchmen.
Yeah. I just think there's something about it being being such a weird replica of what it was Like it's a thing that's supposed to simulate a thing that everyone knows is crap for you, right? So the whole idea of holding a stick with a fake lighter on thing on the end and sucking on it is such a it's such a ghost of what it was supposed to be. Right. And so can you ever take, I just don't know how you ever just take it seriously, or not take it seriously, but just not notice that there's a bunch of people with blue tipped things walking around your movie. I just think that is super dumb.
I think what was more disturbing in this movie was the amount of tea they were drinking.
Oh, there was a lot of tea.
Right. And the big flaming teapot cooker thing that guy had in the police department.
Yeah.
They were always drinking out of, I mean, okay, I drink tea. All right.
Sure.
Don't make fun of me.
No, go for it.
Everybody drinks tea.
Yeah. Tea's
good.
Yeah,
but I don't drink them out of little dainty porcelain cups like these guys were doing with, you know, the whole saucer and everything, holding it very tight.
They were in Scotland. In the 1950s.
Does Scotland do this in the 50s?
In the 1950s, yes, absolutely.
Not that they wore kilts and clubbed each other over the head before they...
Oh, my God.
I mean, I like a nice lemon tea, you know?
Right.
But... I don't.
The only tea I drink begins with the words Long Island and iced.
Can't imagine holding it like that. Is all I'm getting at. Like I would never do that. Hold it.
Well,
with
you would never
pinky
shave
out.
You never shave your mustache like that either.
That's a good.
How do you even do that? I gotta figure that out.
I have a friend.
You have
who has
to have
one.
A pretty full mustache to be able to do that because some people don't have the full. It's got to cover your full lip so that you've got enough.
I could do a John Waters mustache in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I could walk in my bathroom right now.
You
and
can
make,
name,
and make
shave
me,
that face.
I could walk in my bathroom right now and make me look awful in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I would actually really enjoy seeing that.
I would too. I'd put in $5.
Right. Sure.
It's going to cost a lot more than that, my friend. Because after I take the pictures and collect your money, I will then go to the full Amish. And it's like, I will go full Mennonite. That whole mustache will come off because I'm not.
You'll start yelling, it's 4:30 time for milking. That'd be great. Americans doing bad foreign accents. We talked about that. Well, you did at length there. Yeah, I had another comment in here about being so dark. So we've talked about that.
I got a trope that bugs me.
All right, hold on. Bugging trope. How about we got to
slurp my butt.
My scroat.
There.
It's the Red Scare. So you look pretty human, but you're not from around here. You're scary. You have technology that we really want. You have the ability to turn us into followers of your ways. You must be a Russian communist. Mm. This trope expired many years ago. Batteries not included. Void were prohibited. It's ridiculous.
I thought you meant it was. It ended with batteries not included with Hume Cronin and his wife.
No. Okay. This trope is old and it's hard to kind of get your head around now. Mm-hmm. But back then, this guy is a commie from Russia.
I suspect a big comeback for Russian, the Red Scare, the Communist Scare, the Russian is the bad guy movies. I think they're coming back with a force because now we're at a point where it's like, Soviet Russia has been dead for this long, but meanwhile, something's been festering just under the surface, and now they're poised to bear, bear, bear. And that new Jack Ryan movie is totally that.
We have that. It's called The Olympics.
That's a good point. Sochi. For
another 4 hours.
I think we're done for a while with Middle Eastern evil guys.
You think so?
Yep, I do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a common trope, though.
No, it totally is. But the resurgence of that.
Done. I don't think we're done being afraid of.
We're afraid of them. I think we're done.
But I don't think the movies will let us be not afraid. I think we're gonna continue to see that for a while.
I think they're tired. I think we're done. I think it's getting to the point where it's like, all right, we get it. Another terrorist with bombs. I think it lessens the impact of a movie because it makes it too simple.
Well, did anyone see? I haven't seen it, but I'm curious if anyone has seen the Liam Neeson as an air marshal.
No, it's actually coming out next week, right?
Oh, it is. Okay, so we don't know who the what nationality?
Oh, right, his other set of skills. That's what's coming out.
That's right. I have a completely different set of skills.
It's an airplane.
You're all going to get taken.
I'm actually really excited about this. I'm not going to lie. I like his. I'm for this. I'm all for his dumb.
What's the name of the stupid movie, though? Because I keep thinking
Nonstop.
Nonstop.
I kept thinking Carry On and I couldn't think of it. I couldn't think what airline term it was.
Checked baggage.
Julianne Moore. That's kind of good.
It's directed by a guy named Jean Collet Serra.
Sure.
Who made that House of Wax movie a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. With Paris Hilton.
Well, that's what you remember about it, but it also had Elisha Cuthbert and Jared Padalecki. Oh, he's dreamy.
Oh, it's got Michelle Dockery from the PBS deal everyone loves.
Nonstop.
Downton Abbey. Right. Yeah, no, Downton Abbey. Yeah, she's a stewardess lady or something.
Isn't it weird when you see all these commercials for a movie like this and you forget that there's really anyone else in the movie except this one dude?
Mm-hmm. 8.2 on IMDb for early reviews. That's good.
But does it ever like strike you like, oh wow, there's a cast list of like 33 people and the only person in the previews is Liam Neeson?
Yeah, that's a good point. He is the only one in there. I'm trying to find the bad guy in this. Anyone know who the bad dude is? I'm trying to see if they went with
Well, I think that's part of the mystery is that he gets these text messages that indicate there's somebody on the plane.
It's actually the pilot. Okay, so I don't want to spoil it too much. Anyway.
It's actually Julianne Moore.
So anyway.
That's exactly who it is. It's actually Julianne Moore. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Actually, that is what I'm thinking.
How far have we come in with phone technology since the time that you would call London? Because that's what he did in this movie.
He's like, right. Call London.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He says, now get under the bed.
The whole place? Call London?
No, now we're back on the end from Planet X.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about Liam Neeson calling London.
Scotland's a good way away from London.
Right.
There's a lot of world between Scotland and London.
North, right?
Scotland's north of London. Yes, Scotland is north of London.
Yeah, they're up north.
I'm going to call Edinburgh. And, you know, people watching the movie and be like,
by the way, something no person who has ever lived in Great Britain ever said was Edinburgh.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
That is the most cringeworthy thing in this whole film, that there wasn't even like a janitor on the set who had lived in England for a year to go, hey, guys, wait, I don't know what you just said, but it was not right.
Edinburgh.
No one would ever say
that's like New Orleans. New Orleans, yes, right. Or whatever.
Or Louisville.
New Orleans. I hate that. Oh, my gosh. No one says that down there.
How much were y'all annoyed? Okay, this is a pretty common theme we do in movies even today with lower budget films, is you use music as to steer people's emotions.
Musical cueing.
Right, musical cueing. And they do that a lot in this movie. Yeah. However, is this old school violin, horns, clarinet,
piano.
Yeah,
like it was.
Oh, but even in some of the quiet scenes, like they go outside because there's lightning, and every time the lightning flashes, there's this little sound with it. So cute.
Now let's all count and see how long it takes for the thunder. One, two, three. Okay, it's not happening.
Movie was 70 minutes long, and 15 minutes of it was them counting thunder.
Right. Oh, that was so dumb. I forgot about that scene. I don't know how I captured it, but it's super dumb. But yeah, anytime anything happened, like if me and Brian walking down the street, hey, what's that over there? It's a hooker. Right?
We have our new chick in the bucket sound.
Oh, yeah, that one's a good one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who's the chick in the bucket in this movie? We have one?
The tea, because I don't think the guy ever turned off his little tea burner.
He didn't.
Think it was the...
You think it was the heliograph? Maybe that ship that saw him? No, they did explain that.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was the first thing that they fired down, right? The that little missile thing that...
The first thing
they discovered.
Chick in the bucket. That's it.
Yeah.
Totally chick in the bucket.
Technology in the bucket.
You know what's hard about chick in the bucket is people who haven't listened to our entirety of episodes, they'll never know what we're talking about. Because it's so specific to that Wild West Will Smith movie.
Right.
And an actual girl in a bucket. Oh, geez.
Sure, it's in the Frog Pants wiki. They can look it up on there.
Yeah, what are you doing, you lazy butts? Get over there.
Speaking of tropes, this movie embodies a great trope, I love.
What's that?
They only sent one guy. Now, just think about this for a second.
Okay.
There's a whole race of people somewhere, a whole species, multiple species, a whole planet. Let's call it Planet X, if you will. All right. They only sent one guy.
Well, the movie poster looks like there's another dude in there with them.
Yes.
It does. What is that about?
But he's not.
I'll just watch the ship while you go out and scare the lady.
Okay.
And then my favorite thing about the calling the trope, they only sent one guy, and this is so many movies. Like, gosh, there's so many. Dennis Quaid meets up with the alien who was Lawrence Fishburne? Who was in Enemy Mine?
Yes. Enemy Mine. That was not Fishburne. That was Iron Eagle.
Lou Gossett Jr.
Lou Gossett Jr.
Jr.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Okay, sorry.
And Dennis Quaid.
Samuel Jackson that one.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
But there's only one Dennis Quaid. There's only one Lou Gossett Jr. Like, they only sent one guy. My favorite thing about this in this particular movie is that he actually looks like Guy Fawkes. So I want to like somehow put that together. You know, like they only sent one guy.
No, Enemy Mine,
right?
I gotta defend Enemy Mine because they crashed, didn't they? They both crashed in that plant. That was an accident.
But if you're gonna explore space, right, you're gonna put a lot of people in that spaceship. Like if we ever decide to send a manned mission to Mars, we are sending like
Sending one guy.
No, we're sending 16 people minimum. It's going to be a whole family. It's going to be a Von Trapp expedition.
I'm sending four. Three dudes and a lady.
I want it for just a little credit to Enemy Mine. I'm pretty sure that they did have more dudes with them on both sides, but they got killed off.
Didn't this co-pilot get killed?
Yeah, there was some stuff like that.
Okay, so I'll give you a subtrope. Only one guy survived.
Okay, that's good.
Like, it's just silly. And if you think about it, you can think of a lot more examples than just Moon, although Moon is a really great example because if you actually think about it for a bit, you wouldn't have just one guy. If you've got that technology, you would tell him you're twins, you're identical twins, right? And have two guys because two's better than one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I say? I say send the Planet Xers. I don't give a crap. All it takes is a little simple twist of the nozzle on the back of their heads and they freak out.
That's right. Easiest vulnerability that they can't even reach their own hose to turn it back.
That was so stupid. And if there really were two of them, you can hear the conversation like, where are you going? I'm going to go out and scare the lady. Okay, now, honey, don't forget. Don't forget your hose tube turny knobby thing. Don't let anyone touch that.
That's right.
Like, that's so stupid. My
that thing,
gosh.
By the way, the window thing we talked about a little bit earlier, but it had a very much a Twilight Zone Nightmare at 20,000 feet kind of vibe.
Very.
You first see the gremlin on the wing of the plane, and he's looking in the window.
Right. Shatner's taking a shat in his seat.
That's right.
Was that the one? Yeah, that was the one with the gremlin on the plane. Yes. Yeah. I always think of the movie one with John Lithgow for some reason.
Yeah, that was good too.
Yeah. It was good. That was the best thing in that redone
deal. I would agree.
Deal. Because what was the other bit? It was.
There were four of them. There was the helicopter one that killed, what's his face? The guy who's traveling back to all the racist things that he's talking about.
Right.
Right. There was that was the thing. He's a racist.
Is that Paula Deen? Yeah, that what she did back in time?
Then there was one with there was the kid with the like cartoon family. Right.
Exactly. Like anything he wanted, he could conjure up. There was the kick the can where all the old people become little kids again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then the Nightmare.
But it started with Ray from Ghostbusters turning
Dan
into a werewolf.
Aykroyd and. Yeah, so that was just like your interstitial. That was your creep show book.
But who was he with? Who was he there with? That was him, not Jeff Goldblum.
It was
Goldblum.
Another famous guy. No. now I've got to look it up.
Oh, I would have.
The driver of the car, because he picks him up or something, hitchhiking.
Yeah,
he goes,
no, Ray, don't. Yeah, I mean, that's not Ray, but whatever you call it, whatever his name was. Quick fooling around.
You're talking about Winston?
Albert Brooks.
Oh, Albert Brooks. Albert Brooks. That's who that was. Yeah. That's a weird thing.
You're gonna just change into a werewolf in my car? What? Who does that? Why'd you do that?
That's a pretty good.
Want to see something scary? All right. do Scottish people always reluctantly accept someone's offer, but then always followed up with, but there better not be any monkey business?
Yeah.
Because that always seems to be something that I see.
They don't trust anybody.
But no, it's not monkey business.
Well, that's because English came and screwed us over a few times, and so they're skeptical about everything they hear. It's fine.
Right.
What are they going to do? Play bagpipes and pull up their skirt?
Dance
really,
in the fog?
But you really do get the feeling in this movie that the people making it not only didn't know much about Scotland, but didn't want to. Like they could have included something like that, some little something.
It's a little something, something. Sure.
So this is kind of like our current state of affairs where we don't travel. We don't send our representatives to the countries that we want to have
okay,
them represent.
Yeah, I love that there's a montage of all these different people who are being reviewed for being an ambassador to a country saying that they've never been there. I love that.
Yeah.
But you've got to remember, we live in a time with the internet. Like, we are
I've been to Scotland.
But I'm just saying,
on the internet, scotland.com.
We're so better connected, or we have the potential to be so better connected than people did 30, 50 years ago. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it is a substitute.
Right.
It's just, we're just better than they were.
We are. There's no question about this. This movie could have used some internet. That's all I'm getting at. Let's do some clips. We've got a bunch here, and they begin with Meet the Guy from Planet X.
And as one of the few living humans who has actually met face to face the man from Planet X.
And was so ridiculously horrified by how dumb it was. That really led me to think we were up for some action later, because it was all this
everybody else is dead.
And it just, we got there and went,
I might be dead too.
The worst it got was that guy wrestled with him and turned his knob. That was it.
And then sent you a picture of it.
So yeah, thanks for the knob photo. All right, a man of science. Here you go.
Surely you're not telling me a scientist like yourself believes such nonsense.
No, I'm not telling you that.
No, but I do.
Boy, they went a really
long... Don't call me
Shirley. Right?
That was
very verbose. Right? That was really verbose for a very simple conversation. Sometimes we say that we look back and we go, wow, they used to speak so much more eloquently. Sometimes I just want to say, no, they used to speak more windedly in these movies. I just want to say, shut up. Get to the point.
Yeah, just talk, man. Speak. They got way too verbose. Way too many words to say a simple thing. This is a strange thing, the strange saying, and I've not heard it since seeing this or ever before. So here it is, right here.
Hey, it sort of makes cold fingers run down my spine.
Yeah.
How about you?
Do cold fingers run down my spine?
Yeah. That must have been the thing. I mean, we talk about
chills.
That.
Yeah. Chills running down your spine, but not cold fingers.
Cold fingers.
That must have been something that was a thing.
Yeah. Don't spoon me. You've got cold fingers going up and down my spine. Do people still complain about this?
Sorry, I was late. I had a little motor trouble.
Well, better late than never.
Yeah, motor trouble.
It's a motor trouble. Don't worry. I got some vodka and took care of it.
I don't think she knows what motor means. Like, I think back then, motor trouble meant car trouble.
Right.
Now we say motor trouble, we mean motor trouble. Like my motor, I've blown a gasket.
Back then, a flat tire could have been motor trouble.
Yeah, because you were in your motor car, right?
Yes.
My check engine light is on.
Right. What did they have for that? They didn't have that. They just had, oh no.
Exactly.
What has happened?
And people didn't take their car to the Jiffy Lube every 5,000 miles either.
No.
Think about that.
They didn't have Jiffy Lubes.
They just hope for the best.
They had a guy named Jiffy who might look at the car if you're nice.
And it was all lubed.
Yeah, he was all lubed up and ready to go. All right, something about, I don't know, it's maybe one of the sexist moments.
The last time I saw you, I got your solemn promise that when I grew up, I could be your girl.
I could be your girl.
I could be your girl.
Yeah, you're setting yourself up for some sexism, lady, because here comes some right
so
here.
You're
Races
saying...
took care of the teeth.
And nature took care of the legs.
I hadn't thought you noticed.
The newspaper man in me.
Ugh, gosh dang it, dude.
Wait a minute. Okay, he's got a newspaper man in him. That's awful. That's very erotic.
He's standing over there behind him going, hey, what's going on?
but go back to the previous clip.
You got any report to be done?
Yeah. Read all about it.
extra.
But going back to the previous clip, she's saying, I haven't seen you since I was a little girl, and you told me that if I waited around, we might be able to hook up later. Mm, he said that to you when you were a child?
Yeah, basically.
Ew, good point.
That's a little weird. Gross. It's a little weird. No question about it. All right. Women really knew their place back then. You can see where I've captured a lot of clips. Here you go.
What I lack in talent for cookery, I make up in speed. But I really do brew a fine cup of tea.
What I lack in cookery, I make up for in speed.
Whatever, I'll make crappy food, but really fast.
Yeah, it's a hell of a cup of tea, though.
I knew this movie was going to be good right after that. Actually, when they were doing that scene, the scene before that, she laid down his hat and his gloves on a chair, and the gloves fell down. She didn't even pick them up. She's just like, see you later. We're not refilming that.
Wow.
Let's just go.
They just gave up and kept, well, I'm 38 this grand, dude. 38 grand. Right. That's all they had to work with.
Mm-hmm.
More sexism. Here you go.
I trust I'm not disturbing you, Mr. Lawrence. Professor Elliot would like to see you upstairs.
You go ahead, John. I'll be up in a minute as soon as I put away these dishes.
No, because I'm the woman, and the woman's place is to take care of these dishes. That's what I do. All right, now let's count some thunder together. Here we go. 18 seconds, longest clip of the day. There you go.
I've heard that one may tell how distant a storm is by the number of seconds between the lightning and the thunder, too.
Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Must be in Chicago.
Yeah, I'll just take over your accounting for you there, lady.
Oh, that's horrible. That just made me sad.
That's not good, right? Not good.
That's not good at all.
Oh,
also Brian Ibbett, be right back.
Yeah, I saw he had it. I just got. Did you guys get this text?
We did.
He says, "Wow, let's look this up. It's funny that we were counting thunder at the point he said this. Wow, computer just did the black screen reboot, jumping in on my MacBook Air. One moment," he says.
You know what we should do? We should count until he gets here. So how far he was away from it?
He's
must be in Chicago.
Two. Let's see if we can get him back here.
Three.
All right. Two. Three. And we're back, starting over. Hey, everybody. Brian had a thing, but we're back, and here he is. And what were we doing? Oh, we were doing clips. And yes. I don't remember which one I was on, so... Oh, no, I do.
We just counted lightning and thunder.
Oh, yeah, we counted all the thunder, and then Brian got a black screen to death. Here it is. I just like this phrase.
The measurements are singularly precise.
They're singularly cut. Okay, well, good enough, he said, after the fifth take. We'll just use it.
Whom is whom?
Is this the scene where he's talking about how the other planet's going to crash into Earth? Well, not crash right into Earth, not headlong, but yeah, no. It'll definitely graze us.
Yeah, it'll just come by and clip us. Again, that was that 50s era, we don't understand space science thing. Yeah, real
nor
bad.
Nor do we understand mind control. Mm. Nor do we even try to understand mind control.
No, we don't.
At all.
We don't understand how an alien can't reach his own tube.
Hey, I can't reach my own tube, so I'm not gonna.
Well, lie. Depends on the day. All right, here's one called "Where Did It Come From?"
But this object comes out of space. I could not deny the possibility.
Okay, comes from out of space. No, he didn't say outer. He said out of space.
He said out of space.
Here, listen again. Very.
But
careful. This
object comes out of space.
Out of space.
Okay, I'm with you now.
And this is why I struggled with that clip, because when did we say out of space? Never.
1950 something.
This was so far before.
Out of space on my computer. Space.
Well, that I can hear and it sounds fine in my head, but when you say, "Hey, this giant space rock that just landed, where did it come from? Out of space."
Out of
That's
space.
Horrible.
Yeah. I can't read these words. I need my glasses.
I wonder if this guy's going to be evil.
It's harder than steel. It has tremendous tensile strength, and it weighs only a fifth as much as steel. The man who controls this formula controls the industry of the world.
Yeah.
These new Trojan titanium condoms are awesome.
Brian's just saying that for no other reason, because he has a box of them right there.
Right?
He's not talking about the movie.
Made of steel.
That's right. Okay, here's more sexism.
Well, he upsets me.
We can't have you getting upset, can we?
Can we? Come on back to my place. All right, here's another weird way of saying things.
It? What?
I just like the way it goes. It?
Right.
What?
It? What?
It? What? let's see. Oh, they talked about Joan Rivers in the movie. Did you guys catch this?
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, there was a whole line about Joan Rivers. Here it is right here. Right here.
Face? A human face?
A ghastly caricature, like something distorted by pressure.
Yeah, that, see, remember that? It's the Joan Rivers time.
Something distorted by pressure.
Yeah, you know. You know
I
the
just
one.
I don't know what...
I'm sorry, I'm a little
just
winded.
He just looks like Guy Fawkes. I don't know what else to say.
I just ran 6 miles. I'm tired. I don't know how else to say it. Most annoying
like
sound of
the movie prop. Oh, I guess I can't say that.
Yeah, I can't say that either. Most annoying sound in the film comes in the form of this. Oh gosh!
Right.
I can't even do the whole thing.
I'm sorry. Or, I apologize to our listeners.
Or as I like to call it, world's teeniest spotlight.
Yep.
I will find you.
I'd just like to point out that very small speakers, like the ones in headphones, reproduce that really well.
Oh yeah, people are gonna have no problem hating me right now. It's gonna be fine. Let's see. What's your theory? Right here.
Well, your theory, Professor, is that these singular occurrences are in some way connected with Planet X. Have you a better theory to offer? No, but you'll have to pardon me if it takes me a moment to get my bearings.
Oh, geez. Come on, guys.
Give me a few days. Yeah. You're the scientist.
It takes a while to get your bearings. When you drop them, they roll everywhere. It sucks.
Yeah. Also, this phrase we said a little strange back then. right here.
And this you believe from out of space?
There it is again. This wow. You believe
that was in the same clip
from out of space? Yeah, yeah, different clip. Yeah. Yeah, where were you guys? Jeez. Just kidding.
Okay. I got so used to their old manner of speaking that I didn't notice a lot of these things.
Their old man language?
I liked it.
Yes.
I liked it. Here's the sound of the wrestling of the man from Planet X. Okay? So this is what that sounds like right here.
I love that he kept using this oscilloscope even after it was like they're attacking him. It's the same noise he used to communicate, but it was like, ooh, don't do it.
Don't kill me. Punched him right in the theremin.
My wife is in the thing still. Ooh. Ooh. All right. I played this already, but I want to do it again just for fun. The suspense theme. So good. I'm going to use that forever. And then finally, maybe the worst advice at the end of a film we've watched for FilmSack. I really believe this is the wrong way to talk to your audience. It breeds, you guys are thinking, where's he going with this?
Yeah.
It breeds ignorance, and it's just bad, bad form. So here's the lesson at the end, and I think it's just freaking terrible. 14 seconds, here you go.
Is it true that no one will ever know what happened here?
Knowledge would only bring more fear in a world already filled with it.
Can such a thing be kept a secret?
No. No, but it can be reduced to gossip.
Yeah, heaven forbid we have a little knowledge to help people understand truth of things.
Right. And this is still the same idea. It.
They're stupid. Even those people right there in the audience, a bunch of
dumbasses.
Swilling idiots.
Yeah, you're just talking to them. And I just feel like, I don't know why I got really frustrated with that. It really bothered me because it was them saying, I understand it's a trope, like, we can't, no one can ever know what's happened here. I understand that trope, but this whole thing about knowledge will only make it worse. No, it won't. Knowledge makes it better. You pencil mustache dick face. It makes it better. I don't know why I went to dick face. Jeez.
I don't know. Wow. You're very passionate about it.
You're still thinking about that email you got.
I guess so, baby.
Yeah. Like on The Simpsons when they did... Skinner's real name.
Oh, yeah.
And they said, and we will never bring this up again ever in another.
However many episodes. That was a classic. What a great moment. Some people hate that. I thought it was great. All right. It's time for the checklist right here. The worst possible special effects in alien makeup. Check. Required overuse of the borrowed fog machine. Check. And finally, slimy dude making sexist comments to his co-star. Check. It's the 50s, baby.
We keep hitting that check on the checklist.
Sure do. Mm-hmm. William Shallert is our Trek stuff, Trek connection today. Ooh, the only one.
Does it sound like William Shatner? Is that why?
No, it's because he was Dr. Mears in this, of course. In TOS, he played Niles Barris in The Trouble with Tribbles. I want to say he was the guy that was selling the Tribbles.
Right.
Or something to that effect.
Right.
And then DS9, he played Varani in the episode Sanctuary. It's also possible in DS9 he was also shown in their Tribbles tribute episode. I'm not sure, though, about that one.
It's possible. They might have done it. Who knows?
He is now.
I didn't actually watch the episode. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
But maybe it happened.
Maybe it happened. He's 91 now, still going strong. Appeared in 2008 episode of How I Met Your Mother. That episode was called How I Met Your Really, Really Old Neighbor. soundtrack, great. I give it a P for poo. Thought it was kind of just terrible and indicative of the time and way too shock moment-y kind of soundtracky. I don't like that. So not a fan. I mean, I like it in an ironic way, but it didn't do anything for the film. I just think it made it worse. And this is a chance now for you guys to take this movie and sum it up in 140 characters or less, as is the law. Sent down by the Twitter gods, we begin with Randy.
The man from Planet X. Spaceships sound like really large fluorescent lights. Make your alien out of paper mache and you get paper mache alien.
Yay!
That was actually pretty good.
Oh, I want to make one.
It's a very good portmanteau. Yes.
Someone's selling those on Etsy. If they're not, they're crazy. It sounds like a great idea. Paper mache alien. Oh, Randy, you coined it, dude. That's fantastic. Brian Dunaway.
The man from Planet X. I am posting this from my
heliograph, which I have to do while saying the words.
Nicely done. There's like Foley work going on over there. Finally, Mr. Brian Ibbett.
I was just waiting for Brian Dunaway to go, oops, a typo.
Backspace.
White out.
Backspace. The man from Planet X. The moral of the story, let your crazy evil scientist try to kill the friendly alien to find out that he was planning on bringing all his crappy friends to take over the Earth all along.
It's the truth. Watch out for that. All right. Well, we have an envelope. While you guys were doing that, the envelope just handed to me. The alternate title is either, quote, clean up those dishes, lady, or that planet flying by sure was windy. And that's the alternate name. I hate that. The planet comes real close to hitting them. And how do you know? The people of Earth's hair is flying around because the wind's blowing. It's so shitty.
Right.
Which is actually, like, all things considered, it's actually not that bad. Mm. But all things considered, like, if a planet came by planet Earth, there would be huge gravitational changes. And,
we've
you know,
all seen
like
Thundar the Barbarian. We know what happens.
The wind would be the least of our concerns.
Yeah, for sure. All right, where are we?
I would think the tidal waves might be a problem.
Here's a couple emails for you. I got one from a listener named Joseph who said, hey, Scott, Brian, and Randy, just listened to the Timeline episode where you brought up Neil McDonough. I recommend watching a pseudo-horror movie called Wendigo. It was released in 2001, and it has cannibals. Who could say no, says Joseph.
God, did you guys watch any of the Olympics coverage and see Neil McDonough every 10 minutes
no,
or hear his voice?
No kidding. What was he doing?
Commercials. He's
advertising for Cadillac.
Oh, no, I didn't.
He is the face and voice of Cadillac, and he was in every commercial break the whole freaking Olympics.
Wow. He's the face and voice of the mob trying to get Kentucky drug deals going. No, I haven't seen any of the Olympics, so I have no idea. I haven't watched anything, not a thing. No hockey games, no nothing.
And they've got him.
Fair. It's been a pretty lackluster Olympics. I give it one star and four circles.
They've got Neil McDonough playing pretty much the same attitude. Maybe not the exact same character, but he's got the same attitude he does in Justified. Mm. And it's kind of
does he knife a guy in the bathroom while he's
no. He's not a bad guy. It's just a very like jingoistic rah rah America. We make the best car in the world here, kind of thing. And his delivery is the same. Is what I'm saying.
I could see that from him.
And it gets old.
Does anyone poke him in the chest with a puke stick? Does that not happen?
Cut his arm off.
All right, good. Man, if I got a stack of DVDs just sitting here to ship to you guys.
I'm looking at this Wendigo thing, and apparently it's some kind of Canadian folklore. I'm not watching anything.
Yeah, he's like a Bigfoot in the in the Canadian North.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Did you ever read Alpha Flight?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah, Wendigo's in there.
Yeah.
All right. Alpha Flight I didn't like very much, though.
Well, Sasquatch like Alpha was in Flight. That, but Wendigo was a villain. Actually, a villain in the first appearance of Wolverine, too.
That's right. The Hulk. That's right. Isn't Wendigo, though, now... I don't remember. There's a deal where he's like a good guy in something, isn't he?
I think so. Yeah,
it sounds about right.
Every time
they all
you
are
say
at
that,
some point.
Every time you say Wendigo, I think of Scott being blindfolded at Nerdtacular last year and Terpster saying Mandingo.
Oh yeah,
Mandingo.
I'll never live that one down.
So great.
Got one here says, oh, I didn't get a name on this one. I apologize. He says, I love the shoe at the end. So you know who you are out there. He says, hey, guys, I know I send you tons of requests, but I had an idea for FilmSack for a movie that hasn't been released yet. What? He says, anywho, it's the movie Nonstop. Oh, we were just talking about this.
Oh, yeah.
With Liam Certain Set of Skills Neeson coming out in February 28th. So that's coming week. Yep. Here's the idea. All four members of FilmSack go see the movie within a week of the release. You do a show a week later, and voila, you have a FilmSack on a movie that is still in theaters. Mm. What do you think? People have suggested this before. The problem is no clips. Now, I can live without clips if it was for a special thing like this.
Right.
Take a little recording device.
Yeah. Right. That's there legal. Super right. legal.
And the thing is, you could actually get a lot of clips off of like YouTube from trailers and teasers and little bits that they, like, you know, like go to comingsoon.net and there's all sorts of stuff.
There's things, sure.
But it's not like pulling your own.
Yeah.
I would love to do this, but Movielicious already did it.
Oh, they did that. Well, that is what they were. That was their whole show premise. Yeah,
that was the whole show. Yeah.
Well, that not so much that it would be something somebody else has done. The bigger problem I have is that it just limits the listener's abilities, because not everyone's going to be able to go see it. Whereas, you know, if everyone's got Netflix or they've got some streaming service, chances are they're going to be able to watch a thing we're talking about. In this case, it's like we're forcing them to go spend $8.50 on what potentially could be poo.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I imagine the interest of our audience rises and falls with the interest in the movies that we talk about. And yeah, there, it's very unlikely that 3 or 4 days after a movie opens, a bunch of, you know, a significant number of people are going to want to hear
us. And not to mention, it would be really hard not to do spoilers, especially with a movie like that, because that's a thriller. It's all about the spoilers. Yep. But I love the idea of us going movies. We've thought about it too. It sounds like a fun thing to do.
Yeah, it seems all right. I mean, we're always up for new ideas, and we need to do some more live sacks and some other stuff. So we'll be bringing you more in 2014.
Live sack.
Next movie is the Amityville Horror, the original movie.
Amityville or Amityville?
I thought it was Amityville. Am I doing it wrong? Is it Amityville?
A Mightyville.
A Mightyville.
A mighty vill is blowing.
A mighty wind, yeah. No,
this movie scared me so much when I was a kid. We sat in the drive-in, and I couldn't sleep for a week, so I can't wait to see it again.
Dude, sweet. I wonder how... I just remember a lot of flies crawl all over a dude.
Eyes in the window. I think the eyes in the window really just made me shit my pants. That was the that was the moment that I think I lost it in the car.
Mom! I shit my pants. it'll be fun, exactly. I think. We haven't done a horror movie in a while, so pretty stoked about that. So that's coming. Don't you worry your little heads. We will do the Amityville Horror. That's next week.
Little heads.
No.
I'm not saying you have little heads.
No. That'll be our 3-3 release of the year. So March 3rd as we head into March, which seems crazy to me. So we'll watch for that. Also, details soon on Nerdtacular tickets if you're interested in coming, and we'll likely be doing a live film sack like we always do. That'll be a big part of it. You can find out more at nerdtacular.com. The next couple of days will be a big deal, so follow us on Twitter and all that, and you'll be well informed of that, I can assure you. That's going to do it. That's it. Tell you what, if you want to follow what we're doing generally, follow us on Twitter. The show is at FilmSack, at FilmSack. You can also follow me at Scott Johnson, Brian at Coverville, the other Brian that's Dunaway at The Brian Dunaway, and also Randy at Randy Deluxe. Oh gosh, what else? There's FilmSack.com is our website. Email us at FilmSack@gmail.com. We're happy to read those. Always happy to read those. Leave us a review on all of the places you get your podcasts. Tell us why you like us. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
Obviously a creation of science.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
It? What?